many of you have been coming to this church for a period of time. And I dare say that if you are anything like me, you have bought a whole lot of books from the church bookstore. And in the process, you have discovered your favorite authors. Certain authors speak to us, and they become the ones that we read and study, the ones that we turn to for our spiritual food, for contemplation. Now, I think that some of you may have noticed that Lillian DeWaters is one of my favorite authors. She speaks a great deal about what we call the dream state. Now, the dream state, it means different things to different authors, and it also means different things to different people. To Lillian DeWaters, the dream state is humanhood. She urges us to wake up from that dream and discover the truth of us. The truth that we are not that individual who has his being in material form. One of the things that I like about the writings of Lillian DeWaters is that she tells us little stories to explain the point that she is making. She gives us something that we can actually relate to and think about. In one of her books, she tells us about a man who was asleep on his bed. And in his dream state, he finds himself stranded on an island. Not exactly the place that he wants to be. Vainly, he looks around for a boat, but there is none. He is without shelter, water, and provisions. She points out that the man on the bed and the man representing him in the dream correspond to the true self and to the personality. Now, if that dream character on the island could know but the nothingness of him, if he could but give up his life, that is, the dream life, such life as he would give up would be nothing in itself. For that personality stranded on the island is not our real existence. Remember, this is the dream state that we are talking about. Now, in giving up that dream life, no change would actually take place, for all the time the self would be on the bed and not in the island. When the man wakes up and finds himself safe in his bed, then he knows the nothingness of that man on the island. When we give up ourself as we know us, as John Doe, what we are actually giving up is our belief in a man of matter, a personality, a man who is separate from his real being, and there is no such man. When we awaken from our dream state, that is, from the identity of that man of humanhood as our reality, when we do this, we know as a spiritual being, and then we understand the nothingness of that man, of sin, sickness, and death. When we awaken to our true self, we see how futile it is to cling to personality. There would be no need to try to feed, clothe, or provide transportation for that man on the island, when no such man existed. The man in the bed awoke and found that he was not in need. The entire time that he was thinking of himself as being stranded on that island, he was actually safe in his own bed. And so it is with us. Even while we are thinking of us as John Doe, we are Christ, safe in our divine nature. Now we read this little story and we can all agree that, of course, the dream character has no real existence. Most of us have had dreams or perhaps nightmares. And we have experienced the relief that occurs when we wake up and discover it was but all a dream. In the light of waking up, it is easy to dismiss what appeared to us in that dream. But we also have to admit that at the time, it all seemed very real. And that is the point. Much of what comes to us in the humanhood time of experience seems very real. We may be students of truth. We may affirm that God made us in His image and of His likeness, and that we are indeed safe in that identification. We read the words of the Psalms that speak of the secret place of the Most High. We are told that when we abide there, nothing will come nigh our dwelling place. When we stay in that place, we are safe from those calamities that happen to that man of personality. At that moment, we are not the man of sin, sickness, and death. Rather, we are the one of eternal life. All of this is true. It is also true that for this to be our reality, we really do have to stay in that place of the Most High. And to stay there, we must know us as the awakened self. And then somehow maintain that idea of us. And quite frankly, we are not able to maintain this awareness. Appearances, they can be very strong, tempting us to think of us as that one in need. And there are times when we get caught up in the experience of daily living, accepting appearances to be reality. We get confused about what is real and what is unreal. There are times when we feel very much like that man stranded on the island, with no idea how we are going to make it. We might even ask ourselves, am I ever going to get through this? Or is there any way out of this situation? But even in our time of despair, we never completely give up. Somewhere in the consciousness of that man on the island is remembrance of that man on the bed. Even when we live strictly from the awareness of that man of humanhood, we have an ideal. We find us striving for a degree of excellence. We want to be true to ourselves. Most times we want to do our best, and we desire to discover how to do this. For instance, in our line of work, in our chosen occupation, we want to achieve what is true of our efforts. The scientist, the one in the laboratory, he attempts to discover the highest that can be learned through his instruments, his tests, and experiments. He will not settle for last year's discovery. The medical doctor has as his goal to find what is best for his patient. He is concerned about his patient's health, and he does not want to be deceived, and so he asks himself, what is the truth of my medicine? What prolongs life on this earth plane? Through trial and error, he discovers what works. He keeps what is true to his profession, discarding that which does not belong. Regardless of our life work, we all develop a standard of measurement, one that allows us to keep what is true and discard what does not belong, to dispose of that which is not true of our efforts. One time I read an article about an artist who had achieved a certain degree of success. His paintings were exhibited in the finest galleries in the world. We are told that he went through his collection, destroying all of those that were completed in his earlier years. He no longer considered them to be true of his talent. These works belonged to another time, and he was no longer the man of that time. And so we contemplate what is real, what is unreal, what is temporary, and what has staying power. And along the way, we have noticed certain things. First of all, we discover that we can apply this act of noticing to any number of things. Much of what we do on a daily basis requires us to discern the reality of what it is we are looking at or what it is that we are doing. This is even true in those areas that we consider being minor, having little or no real importance. We even get a little ridiculous in our considerations. When we witness something, it is us who determines if it is real or if it's unreal. There are times when what we see could be called appearance or illusion. And that is all we need to know. There's no need to do anything to appearance or illusion, for we already know them as nothingness. So let's see how this works in our daily life. For instance, we go to a show to be entertained and amused. That's it. And the first performance we will watch happens to be a magician. The first thing we witness is his act of pulling a rabbit out of a seemingly empty hat. While it seems real, somehow we don't think that rabbit ever was in the hat. Now, while we may be curious about how this happened, it isn't all that important that we learn how it was done. Remember, we are simply there to be entertained. And we have already come to some conclusion regarding the reality of a magic show. So we lose his next act, we look again. This time we saw a woman in hat. We witnessed this. At one time we might have been tempted to believe it actually occurred. I mean, it really did seem real. How did he do it? But our reasoning tells us that no way was that lady actually cut in half. And of course, this proves to be the case when at the end of the act, she steps out of that box alive and well. We have been entertained and we have been amused. And that was the purpose of attending the performance. When it comes to the magician, we really don't have explanations for what it is we thought we saw. I really don't know how it was that he did it. But we are not fooled by his performance. While the magician's act appears to be real, we know this is not so. Since we really don't know what happened, we might call it an appearance or an illusion. Will be true for us at other times. We will witness something and it will seem to be real. We are tempted to believe it. But something in us tells us that this cannot be so. So let us understand that we don't always have to know the how and the why of something. It is okay to simply dismiss it as an appearance. No need to learn more. We look out there at those beautiful mountains, and it appears that the mountaintops are leaning against the sky. While this seems to be the reality, we know this is not true. And then we look at those railroad tracks, the ones that seem to come together out there in the distance? This appears to be true, but we know that in no time did those tracks actually come together. So we call these things illusion. The mountaintops, they don't lean on the sky. And at no time did those perfectly spaced railroad tracks come together. The illusion, it is not out there, but in our misperception of what appears to be. In our desire to determine the reality of something, we discover that our perception has a whole lot to do with the answers that we come up with. What we perceive to be so will appear so to us. If we perceive us to be the self of manifested form, we will experience exactly what belongs to that form. Sometimes we will find us asleep, safe in our beds. Other times we're going to find us stranded out there on the island, all because of that perception we carry around concerning us. Now, if we don't understand there is such a thing as illusion, we will perceive that those mountaintops, in fact, do lean on the sky, and we better not get on that train. Perception belongs to the world of sense impression. It involves observation. It involves our concept. And you know, we entertain all sorts of fanciful ideas in that realm we call imagination. The world that we see, taste, hear, touch, feel, brings us a name and menu of options for us to consider. And then we find us looking at what appears to be, and then we develop our own opinions about what it all means. But this involves thinking in a particular way. Let us remember, when it comes to thinking, we have been known to change our minds from time to time. So you see, we will not discover reality working in this place. So what do we do? Where do we discover reality? In her book, Faith and Works, Helen Sakat speaks to us of what is true. She points out that truth can be found in the absolute. And then she goes on to discuss true prayer, true healing, true prosperity. She also tells us that there are ideas masquerading as these things. And she asks us not to be fooled by the counterfeits. When she puts that word true in front of what it is she is discussing, she calls it absolute, and she asks us to keep it in heaven. That is, keep it in its purest form, not tainted by that human thought, what it might think it means. True prayer, it's what takes place in the heart of the one who communes with God, in the center of his own soul's awareness. True health, it belongs to the one that claims wholeness to be their standard of being. True prosperity, it is enjoyed by the one who knows God to be the source out of which all things are made. This place of the absolute, it is not touched by those fanciful thoughts entertained by human perception, nor is it fooled by what we call appearance or illusion. In the world created by the five senses, the world of mental thought, we are faced with the pairs of opposites. And really, it's because of the appearance of opposites that we are asked to discover what is real and what is unreal. Reality will not be found in the realm of opposites. Bernadette Peterson, a divine scientist from St. Louis, advises us to learn to differentiate between the passing and the lasting. And I think this is an excellent way to look at it. This could be the measurement we use as our standard to determine the reality. What is passing is not real. There's nothing to sustain it. What is lasting is real, for its reality is in the principle that sustains it. What is lasting belongs to the absolute, that place the heavens of God told us about. To stay in the realm of the absolute is to abide in the secret place of the Most High. We receive our knowledge and our understanding through any guidance and direction. We no longer judge by perception or by appearance. We are no longer tempted by the counterfeits of misunderstanding. You might say we become enlightened. When we have become enlightened, the temporal picture will be shown for what it is, illusion, or as other cultures call it, Maya. That is all we need to know. To know the nothingness of something is what allows us to discard it. No need to feed, clothe, or save that man on the island when there is no such man. No need to reform or heal the man of sin, sickness, or death when there is no such identity. But we will only know this to be true when we dwell in the place of the absolute. I mentioned earlier we develop a standard of measurement that allows us to keep what is true and to discard what does not belong. So let us develop a sense of life that bears witness to eternal truths, ones that do not change with the passing times. Reality belongs in heaven, and that is where we will find it. So let us rid ourselves of those fanciful ideas, the ones that entertain and amuse. Let us drop all perception and concept that looks to appearance and illusion for validation. We are of God. It is He who hath made us and not we ourselves. Regardless of what we call us or what it is we think about us, we will not change the reality of who we are. We are a spiritual being, our nature divine, and that is all we need to know. This morning we have the opportunity to enter the realm of the absolute and commune with the Father within. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us enter the silence and listen to the still small voice in the midst of us. The voice reveals, I am here. I will never leave you. This I that never leaves us is the indwelling presence we call Christ. Do not fear. Be not concerned, for I know what to do. The Master spoke of a spiritual being. God is spirit. Whatever God is, man is. The reality is that we are of His kingdom. We are eternal life. The time for realization is now. Right where we find us is the place of revelation. The command is be still. And know the truth of us and of our fellow man. Be in this world, but not of it. The greater self knows that it knows. It is greater than any condition that we may face. It is larger than any problem we are asked to solve. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, be mindful of His presence, for it will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.